I love the theme, and as soon as Bob told me the theme, immediately I knew what passage I was going to preach. And then I called him 2 weeks ago, and I said, has anybody preached on this passage yet? And he said, nope, surprising, nobody has. And I said, well, if next Wednesday somebody does, let me know, because this is what I was going to preach on. And of course, he went on a mission trip, and I have no idea. So if you're hearing this sermon 2 weeks in a row, it's Bob's fault, and you can blame him when he gets back. But the passage of the theme comes from Mark chapter 10, as you know, in verse 42 through 45. That's not the passage you need to turn to, which you'll turn in just a minute. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who regard it as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So because of that last part, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that example, we've got to go to John chapter 13, and that's where we're going to be tonight. And throughout his life, Jesus taught us how to be servants. And Chris and I are going to play with this, and I'm going to see if it works. Did it work? You got it, Chris. Okay. We thought this might work, and it didn't. But anyway, a couple of years ago, I was going through I don't know how many years now. It's probably been more than a couple, but I was going through a Christian bookstore. And you know how you look at all the pictures. And for me, every time I look at those pictures, I think, yeah, okay, that's really nice. You know, I wouldn't have anything like that. I've got a few in my house that people have given to us as gifts, and so therefore they're up there. But as soon as I saw this picture, I thought, wow, I want that. And so I told my wife and my kids, I said, hey, I got my Father's Day present picked out. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to go buy it, so send me money. That's really pretty much the way it works. But this is a picture that to me, and I'll get into some of the details as we go through the passage, but of course it's John chapter 13. But to me, this depicts what being a servant is all about. And I think it illustrates it beautifully. And I requested it, and I have it. It's in my office. I also, and I was going to bring it in here, but I honestly didn't want to get one of them wet. I have two editions of my favorite book. And my favorite book is by Jim McGuigan, and it's called The God of the Towel. And if you look at the first one, it's a paperback and it's all falling apart. And then Brother McGuigan came out with the second edition, and it's a hardback. And he's got two other books that go along with it. Jesus, Hero of My Soul, and something, the Spirit is in the title. They talked a lot about it at Red River, New Mexico this year, where Brother McGuigan spoke. But the original one, for some reason, to me, I'd rather read it than even the new one. But if you want to be a servant of the Lord, you've got to start in John chapter 13. And you've got to understand. So here we are at the end of the summer. I think I'm the last speaker of the series. Is there somebody after me? Well, anyway, we're towards you, huh? Two more? Okay. Well, we get close to the end anyway. And we've got to have this passage, because it's the greatest place to start and finish when it comes to learning to be a servant of the Lord. But our culture has robbed us of the blessing of serving. Everybody wants something done for them. And we all fall into that trap, don't we? We get caught up in this idea of what can you do for me? And we miss out on serving. And I've often said, my feeling about making a sacrifice. All of us want to go out and make a sacrifice to the Lord. Chris and I were talking a little while ago about going into nursing homes in a ministry that he's involved in counseling, and I'm involved in a nursing home. And you go on in there, and your idea is you're going to walk in, and you are going to make a sacrifice. You're going to sacrifice your time, and you're going to sacrifice sometimes your patience. You're going to sacrifice a listening ear to somebody, whatever it might be. And every time you walk in and offer to make a sacrifice, you almost feel bad when you leave, because you got such a great blessing that you wonder if you really sacrificed. And see, that's what the world is missing today when they say, I want you to give me, I want you to serve me. They're missing out on the blessing of serving others and the blessing of finding out what happens when you sacrifice yourself for someone else the way that the Lord sacrificed himself for us. And so when I look at this, obviously, I want to be Jesus in this painting. I want to be him as he's down at, and see, I don't even have to look at it. I know what it's like. As he's down at the feet and he's washing Peter's feet, and he's just humbling himself in such a great way. And there's even some ways, and really, I'm going to tell you the reason I wanted this picture, and it's Peter. And it's Peter's hand doing that. To me, it's almost like it's the focal point of the painting. And of course, mine's a print. It's not the painting. It's not like I bought the original or anything like that. But it's just that feeling right there within the hand of, no, I don't want you to serve me. I should be serving you. And we'll get into that, of course, as we get into the passage tonight. So we must learn to be humble servants of God. And outside of Jesus leaving heaven and coming to the earth, and outside of the cross, John 13 teaches us the greatest lesson about humility. And so the first thing that we have to learn is to be humble enough to lead. Think about that. Being humble enough to lead. When you have those who serve within the church, humility has to be more important than anything else as far as the characteristics. Because there's nothing worse than the church than an arrogant leader. It just doesn't work. In fact, it just doesn't even make sense. So look at verses 1 through 5. And you've got to, I might surprise you in a couple of things on this and what I think it actually does, what John actually does. It was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from the Father, and that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. The primary motivation that we see here, and the primary motivation that in everything that we need to do, or everything that we do for the Lord especially, has to be love. It's just like a mother serving her family. She does everything out of love. And in the same way, Jesus is teaching us that we have to have love. We have to have a love for the Lord. We have to have love for one another. We have to have love for our enemies. Whatever it might take. We need to have a love of ourselves as we serve. And so when we look at this count, we can see Jesus had obstacles in his way. And so John, first of all, lets us know what Jesus was thinking. That's kind of a twist, isn't it? How often did Jesus say, or the gospel writers will say, Jesus knew what they were thinking in their hearts. And now John twists that around on Jesus and says, this is what Jesus was thinking. He knew his hour had come. I mean, think about that. He knew his hour had come. The hour that was determined probably before the beginning of time, definitely in the garden as he talks to Adam and Eve, in particular Eve. But it's the time that he came to this earth, and he had a mission, and now it's time to finish the mission. I believe that the Transfiguration was this summit meeting where Jesus got together with Moses and Elijah and God, and they got up on the summit and they said, okay, you know, Moses, we got everything in the law fulfilled, and Elijah, do we have everything in the prophets fulfilled, and God, is everything good? And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody disappears except Jesus, and God says, this is my son. And he knew that it was time to finish that mission. He knew it was a time to carry my sins and carry your sins. It's time to go to the cross, the time to die, the time to be sacrificed, the time to be separated from his Father for the only time in all of eternity. And here that moment had come. And then the second thing is, Jesus knew he had power. And he knew he was from God. As John started this, he knew that in John chapter 1, he knew that he was with God. And he knew that in order for us to live with God, his sacrifice was going to have to be completed. And it was going to have to be successful as well. It was going to have to be perfect. And now we know, in order to live with God, that we need to recognize that perfect sacrifice is our sacrifice for our sins, so that our sins could be taken away, because that's the only way we can spend an eternity with God. So he showed them the full extent of his love. This is one of those things where we have to stop and think, okay, What is John trying to say to us? I'm not sure, and this is kind of what I think, I'm not sure if John is introducing us to just Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I really think that John might be introducing us to the rest of the letter, to John chapter 13 all the way to the end. If John's not saying the full extent of his love, including the cross, and even the full extent of his love, including the resurrection. And whatever it might be, you can include the rejection, the suffering, the death, burial, and resurrection. But instead of the main thing that we see as he shows this full extent is, instead of allowing pride to rule his life, Jesus decides that what he needs to do is show us how to live a life of humility. The most radiant life that ever was on this earth is going to be demonstrated in this life of humility. So he thinks of all the things that he could do, and he chooses this lowly act of service to demonstrate his love for him. And he washes 24 dirty feet. I've had one person want to, and I was visiting a congregation. It was a congregation where I came from, and I was back visiting, and the youth minister was teaching on John chapter 13. And he said, Chris, going to come on up here, and I'm going to wash his feet. And I couldn't do it. I promise I couldn't do it. And I pretty much rephrased what Peter says, and I said, you don't want to wash my feet. But that was kind of the way it was anyway. But I didn't have the humility to have my feet washed. But if you stop and think about it, John's talking about this. He washed John's, and he washed Peter's, and he washed Judas's, knowing Judas had already betrayed him. It had already been done. One of his closest followers, whom he loved, had already decided to betray him, and he washes his feet. That's amazing to me that he would do that. And he washed all the others as well. But perhaps it was because he misunderstood who he was and where he was going. But really, the truth is, there's something that when we stop and think about serving others, there's something that we miss. Because he understood who he was. He knew where he was going. And if we recognize who we are, and if we will stop and recognize where we're going, and if we'll stop and recognize the sacrifice that it took in order for us to go there, we're going to try to figure out, what way can I serve the Lord today? In what way is God going to put before me an opportunity? An opportunity I didn't even expect. An opportunity I didn't even know I could do. And yet he's going to set this opportunity before me. In what way can I serve him? And that's what Jesus is teaching us right here. It's not just going around washing people's feet, but looking for what ways can we humble ourselves and what ways can we serve, because we'll want to do that. So we take the initial step. The initial step is ours. The disciples have been involved in the discussions as we looked in the passage at the beginning. And the discussion is, who will be the greatest? It's almost as if somebody, if they misunderstood the passage from that you have for your theme this week, it would be, or this summer, you could say, okay, the theme is, who's going to be the greatest? And so they're having this discussion about who is going to be the greatest. I think that sometimes we also have the opposite problem, and that is the initiative to serve. I mean, who's going to take the initiative? You ever have those things that need to be done around the building? Just those are the simple things. I walked in and we were having a lot going on this week. We had a funeral dinner, and at the same time we were going to have a funeral dinner. And the night before, the family came to a dinner that we already have on Monday night. And one of those things, and my wife will tell you, I'm a little OCD about things. And I walk in, the lights are burned out. You know, all these people are going to walk in, and there's a place where you got to sign up, and you can't see because the lights are burned out. And I thought, well, somebody's going to fix it. No. So I decide, I run over, I had to go over to Walmart and get something. So I ran over to Walmart and I bought light bulbs, and I came back and I took off the thing and I found out they were special light bulbs. So now I've got the whole thing down, I've got the ladder out, and so now I've got to run over to the electric company and buy the special light bulbs so that we can have lights. And then I put them in there and one of them didn't work. And I figured, one light bulb's good enough. So I just left it at one. Now I've got to find somebody to have the initiative to fix the other light bulb. And if there's anybody here, no, Archie. But anyway, But sometimes it's who will take the initiative. I mean, we've got things to do. We've got people that we need to serve. But sometimes we have a hard time finding out if somebody's going to step forward. And the reality needs to be that we almost should, it shouldn't happen. It should just naturally take place. It should, as soon as we see something that needs to be done, we should just want to do it. But Jesus teaches us by example that he didn't serve in spite of his greatness. He served because of his greatness. And we serve because we recognize his humility, and through his greatness, we want to be like him. We want to serve like him. So he looks around for the need. The feet needed to be washed. The disciples needed to learn about being a servant. So he takes that position of a servant, and the lowest form of servant in their eyes, a Gentile servant, that's the one who would wash the feet. And God in the flesh rose so that he could stoop, so that he could serve. What is that? Oh man, I cursed you. Oh, there's pans. Okay, so I didn't create the leak. Okay. All that, and you got a leak. And I had to bring it up. I'm sorry. But if there's a servant here who wants to fit in, well, yeah, that's something you need to really get somebody who knows what they're doing. Huh? Yeah, I bet. Trying to find a leak is, anyway, okay. So God in the flesh rose to stoop so that he could serve. I don't think that Jesus had this plan. I don't think he walked in and said, you know what? I hope nobody washes the feet because I really want to do it, because that would be the perfect illustration. Don't think it worked that way. But he knew he needed to teach a lesson. So he looked around for the need and he met the need. That's all we need to do. That's what Jesus is teaching us. And so then Jesus teaches us to prepare and follow through. They're sitting there arguing, you know, about who's the greatest. Jesus gets up, lays aside his garment, ties the towel around his waist and begins to wash. I mean, I just can't even imagine if they're having this argument and then one by one it starts getting quieter and quieter as the one who is the quietest just simply serves. And imagine the argument, who is the greatest, and imagine the silence as the one who truly is the greatest begins to serve, to wash, to dry. And one by one, they feel the water being poured on the feet, and they feel this gentle touch of the master. It wouldn't be like us, right? I'd get that brush, and I'd scrub it in there, and I'd make sure they know who's washing their feet. But no, Jesus didn't do that. He just gently washes it, and their voices are silent as they hear the water just being wrung into the basement. So he's humble enough to lead. And then the second thing is, ready? Wake up, Chris, back there. You awake? Okay. We should be proud enough to follow. And that's a tough thing to do sometimes, is to allow yourself to be served. Look at verses 6 through 11. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Really interesting sometimes to see how many times Peter says to Jesus, never, but this is one of them. And then Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you're clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that's why he said not everyone was clean. And we need to understand the significance within service. And sometimes there's the significance within being served. But our pride often stops us from being a servant, and also sometimes stops us from being served. And again, if you can see Peter's hand in this, on the next one, you see Peter's hand as that captures that moment when he just says, stop. Because Peter was too proud to have Jesus wash his feet. He can't bear to have his master wash his feet. And I love him for that. I really do love Peter for that. I love him for speaking out and saying that. Now, leaders don't act this way. Not too long ago, I was the one who said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This isn't the way I have it in my mind that the Christ is supposed to live. You don't act that way. Get up on your feet. That's no way for a Messiah to act towards sinners like me. I should wash yours. You know, I think we're a lot like Peter. I'm a lot like Peter when it comes to feeling uncomfortable. And then we're afraid of making others uncomfortable by serving them. Go on to the next one, Chris. I think it might be, I might be wrong, but yep, there we go. And you might stay there in a minute. I probably messed it all up. So Jesus turns Peter's pride around. And sometimes when we've got to be served, and we've all had those moments that you can think, that you can think of when you were served. You had that moment when all of a sudden somebody does something to you, and it just, the humility comes out because somebody is having to do something for you. But Jesus says, it must be done if you want to follow me. It must be done if you're going to walk with me. Our whole future depends on this one simple act of service to where you follow me. So Jesus teaches us, and Peter says, you know, he goes to the extreme, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And then Jesus teaches us a servant follows others who serve, because unless Peter submits, he can't have any part with Jesus. And Peter wants to have a part. And unless Peter submits at this moment, he can't have a part of the Passover. And wow, the Passover, he doesn't know what the Passover means the way that we know what the Passover means, this particular Passover. Peter thinks it's like every other Passover, but it's almost as if somebody is saying to him, well, unless you wash, you know, unless you let me wash your feet, you can't come over for Christmas dinner. That's what Peter's mind is. Because we have this celebration where we're coming together as a family. The Passover is one of the greatest celebrations. And Peter is so excited. He's done it before because they've had other Passover meals together. But he's done it before, and now he has this one. And Jesus wants Peter to have a part of it. And Peter wants to be a part of it. But this foot washing is more important than any other, because without it, he loses his position in the kingdom. And Peter doesn't want to lose that. He loses his relationship with Jesus Christ, and he can't do that. It's very similar to baptism and what it said here, that without it, one cannot be in Christ. I mean, that's Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 29. We're baptized into Christ. That one simple act that Jesus commands, but people still refuse. But if we don't submit to Jesus and we don't follow the Word of God, we can't follow Jesus. We're not following Jesus because Jesus submitted to God and Jesus submitted to the will of God. The world is full of people who are standing on their dignity when they ought to be kneeling at the feet of others. But even more, they ought to be kneeling at God's feet. And someday they will. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord, and every knee will bow. We're trying to be at the top where it seems to be important. And there are others who are just sitting at the table waiting to be served. That's what our culture has taught us to do. But that's not what our Lord has taught us to do. That's not the message that He has. So it's time for us to get down to where the feet are. Because even after the cleansing, Judas was not clean. And even a few short hours later, Peter is going to deny Jesus. And the disciples are all going to flee. And even after the opportunities that are set before us in this worship service, some will still leave here unclean. And I don't know who you are, but you might. And so Jesus knew their pride. He knew Judas's, and He knew Peter's, and He knows ours. And He knows our hearts. See, it doesn't matter what others do or will do. You take the lead and follow. Follow your Lord. So he completes his lesson, he sits down, and he teaches us a final lesson, and that is, we need to be smart enough to learn. Look at verses 12 through 17. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. So he challenges us to learn from his example. He washed all the feet. He washed Peter's. He washed Judas's. And then he says, do you understand what I have done for you? I really wonder if we shouldn't underline that in our Bibles.
Do you see the significance of what has happened? He says, I have, and you ought to. I've washed your feet, and you also should wash one another's. But it really is beyond just that one simple thing. I have, and you ought to. The master did, his disciples should. And we've seen great things done by others. And Jesus says, well, you know, just look at the things that I've done, Jesus says. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. That's the message he sent to John the Baptist or to the disciples of John as John was in prison. But can you learn this one simple act of service? Can you learn this one thing that needs to be done? The one thing that needs to be done that counts in the kingdom of God. And that is if you'll do the simple things, and if you'll serve others and influence them by serving them, that's when you feel and understand and realize what the kingdom of God is all about. So you ask, do you understand? And my answer is no. Really, I don't, because I haven't done it enough, or there are times when I back off from doing it. It's simple. We're to be prepared at all times to see whatever opportunity God sets before us so that we can be servants. Now, something else that is really, really important in here, and so I get to do this as a preacher, because preachers are really good at usually doing just the opposite. Jesus isn't looking for guilt here. He isn't looking at you and saying, you know, all those times that you should have served, can you think of those? I can come up with some real quick that even in the last week, I probably should have done something and I didn't do it. And he's looking for each of us, instead of feeling guilt, he's looking for us to go forward and receive blessings and to feel the blessings that God offers to us. I mean, what if, and this is something I think is amazing about John chapter 13. This is something that I've really never stopped and thought about it until I was preparing for this lesson, and I realized this. What would have happened if just one of the 12 would have got up and washed Jesus' feet? Because nobody did. I'm really surprised that Peter didn't say, okay, Jesus, you go ahead and wash mine, and then I'm going to wash yours. Or Peter didn't say anything, he just did it. Or what if Judas, out of guilt and remorse, even though he hasn't done what he's going to do, what if Judas would have been? Boy, wouldn't that be a story in John? If Judas, maybe it did happen, and Judas said, "Well," or John said, "I'm not going to write that down. You know, we're going to leave. I don't want Judas to look good at all. We're going to leave him alone. I mean, we'll put down that he used to help himself to the money, and leave it at that." I want to live my life blessed. I already know I'm blessed. There's no doubt about it. Yet I'm missing out on a lot of blessings because of the choices, mostly the choices that I choose not to make instead of those that I need to make. But if I'll start doing what Jesus is saying to do, that's going to change me. If I'll react to the blessing of being cleansed by Jesus, I'm going to react with joy. I'm going to be happy about life. I'm going to react with praise. I'm going to react with worship. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus and discover the great blessings of serving and the blessings that he wants to bring into my life, the spiritual blessings that he is just longing to give us. So how can I learn more about that? Because the more I react to these blessings, the more blessings I'll receive. But the thing that we've got to remember is there is only one God, and that God chose to wash feet. And to us and to me, that's amazing. And then Jesus says simply, go and do likewise. Just go and do likewise. Now we use what we know. And he sets an example that we should follow. We're so familiar, and I made a reference to part of this in Philippians chapter 2 just a minute ago. And this is almost like a song, some say. And the whole thing, We should just know this in our hearts completely. When he starts in verse 4, in the middle of his thought, but in verse 4, each of you should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now, I like part of that that says, look for your own interest, but also look for the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was exactly equal with God, and yet he was at the feet serving. He emptied himself of being God and filled his life with being a servant. Here's the problem I see for me as I look at that and think about this. I would gladly wash Jesus' feet if he asked me to. I'm not sure that I would have the initiative to think about it on my own. But if he asked me to, I would do it. And he's asking. That's what he's doing in this passage. Go and do likewise. Don't stand on your dignity, but fall on your knees. By blessing others, we'll be blessed. And we just have to try it. There's a poem, and I'm going to adapt it to myself, if that's okay. And if you want to get on the internet and look up the poem, I highly recommend it. I used to carry it around in my Bible, and I don't know what happened to it. I need to put it back in there. But it's by a woman named Ruth Harms Calkin, who was a speaker for women's ministry. And the poem is entitled, I Wonder. And so, again, adapting it to me in the first stanza. You know, Lord, how I serve you. With great emotional fervor in the limelight. You know how I eagerly speak for you at a worship assembly. You know my genuine enthusiasm at a Bible study. But how would I react, I wonder, if you, Lord, pointed to a basin of water and asked me to wash the callous feet of a bent and wrinkled old man day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw and nobody knew. To me, that captures the heart of what Jesus is talking about. Let's be humble servants of the Lord. Do we understand? No. Hopefully we understand a little bit more. I know I do, a little bit more than when we came. Hopefully Jesus touched us and challenged us. And no longer will we be content at just sitting at the table and being served. No longer will we desire to be at the forefront where everyone can see what we're doing. But we'll use our abilities to serve the Lord in the way that He has taught us. And just simply in that way. Just simply by serving. And from now on, let's be willing to get down to the feet where we're needed. And be humbled enough to lead, proud enough to follow, and smart enough to learn. As he says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Let's live to serve. Appreciate these words.